Hey, this is KY here on the corner on the KY show. Excuse my voice, it'll get a little better in time. And I just want to welcome you today to today's show. And today we have a little bit of a treat. And I know I always say that, but we have the Passion Prophet here. Today's guest is Mr. Walt F.J. Goodridge, also known as the Passion Prophet. Mr. Goodridge, are you there?
Yes, I am, KY. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. Welcome. Listen, so let's start. Let's jump right in. When people hear that you're the Passion Prophet, what are they relating to? Who is the Passion Prophet?
Okay. Well, that's just a little marketing moniker that I created as a marketing tool. But essentially what I do is I help people discover their passion and turn it into profit. Essentially, finding what they're good at, finding the talent, the hobby, the skill, the interest that they are good at, and showing them ways to turn it into a business, use it as the basis of what I call a passion-centered business. And that's the formula and the philosophy that I have in the book, Turn Your Passion into Profit. So it's a play on words. Is Turn Your Passion into Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, and I am the Passion Prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. So it's just a little play on words, but essentially it's a very serious topic in terms of helping people generate alternate streams of income.
Now, you know, man, if you can do that, and I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just going to come right from the top, right? I'm not doubting you, but I'm going to say, man, if you could do that, you know, I could use that.
Well, all of us can. All of us can. I agree with you. And I do have a track record that I'm developing, and it started with myself. I was actually a civil engineer. I went to Columbia University. I majored in civil engineering. So I had what a lot of people would call a good job, but I was very unhappy. I was working on the 73rd floor of the World Trade Center. It was the first job that I had straight out of college, and I hated it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I mean, I absolutely did not like the whole concept of working for someone else. And, you know, a lot of us are not cut out to be employees, but that's just the path that we end up down. You know, our parents were employees, our grandparents were employees, so a lot of people aren't really encouraged to discover their passion and go into business for themselves. So I was on the same path, just working a 9-to-5 job in a career that wasn't really me. And but I realized I was very unhappy. So I looked into myself and started to ask different questions. What is my passion? What is it that I enjoy doing? And to make a long story short and give you some time on your own show, I eventually started my own business in the music industry, and that morphed and changed, and eventually I became a business book writer and walked away from my civil engineering job and became a full-time passionpreneur.
Oh, I like that one, passionpreneur.
Yep, someone who's an entrepreneur based on their passion.
How long did it take, did that whole process take for you?
Yeah, good question. It took me 7 years. From the day I started working in corporate America to the day I quit, it was actually a 7-year journey. And the thing that made it last, in my opinion, that made it last so long was just the fear that I had, and I encountered that a lot of times when I coach and consult people. I was at a point where my passion-based business was actually matching my civil engineering income, but I still didn't have the courage, the inner strength to quit my job and jump out on my own. So I didn't get that courage until maybe 3 years into running my business full time.
And that's a good point. I'm glad you pointed that out. So if not if you could do it over again, it took you 7 years. But how long could it have taken you if you had not had that doubt?
Oh, very good question. You know, my philosophy is everything in life happens exactly what it should. So like you said, you can't really do it over because obviously I wasn't ready before I was ready. But it could take, you know, one of the things that I tell people, for me, they ask, when should they quit their job? And let's say they have a side business that's doing well. When should they quit their job? And the answer to that question is you quit your job when you're ready to be successful. And what I mean by that is I had to put my back against the wall. I jumped out on my own. I didn't have a savings. I didn't have any cushion. At the point where I actually jumped out and became a full-time entrepreneur, it was a risk, if you will, because I didn't have a savings, didn't have anything to back me up. And what ended up happening was a few months after I quit my job, that the biggest fear that I had actually came true, and that is my business tanked. I didn't really know how to run a business effectively, and I ended up getting evicted from my apartment, and I ended up getting evicted from three different apartments, three separate times in the course of learning how to be a full-time entrepreneur because I had no one to teach me. So it got to a point where I finally discovered exactly what I needed to do and how I needed to think differently and act differently in order to run a self-sustaining business. So it took as long as it took, and for some people who are a little smarter than me, they could make it in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It really depends on the individual. It's hard to put a time frame on that.
Well, here's why I ask, because obviously I'm always interested in making sure that I'm living my life passionately and with the things I love to do. But there's what you're passionate about, which is a whole one thing to discover and to nurture and to bring to force. And then there's the managing of the
right.
business, which is a whole totally different
right.
thing. And you know, how often do you see someone who's an artist, be it a chef or something, that has a passion for something, but they can't really bring it into the business forefront? So what part do you have
yes.
to you up with?
Well, what I do is I've created what I call a four-step process, a cycle of success. And the four phases that a person needs to go through in order to successfully turn their passion into profit is, number one, discover your purpose. Number two, find your passion. Number three, create a product or service. And number four, market it for profit. So it's purpose, passion, product, and profit. So it's an overview that encompasses all four aspects of getting from point A to point B, if you will. I think the most important thing that I help people discover is the following. I ask a very important question at the beginning of every workshop or every consulting session that I do, and it's the question that is, what is your purpose? Why are you here on the planet? And one of the light bulbs that often goes off in people's minds is the fact that the most important thing is to find out why you are here. And I'll get into this later, but essentially there are four descriptions that I use to help you isolate what your purpose is. Are you a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide? And I'll go into that a little bit later, but just from the words alone, creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide, you figure out what your purpose is. And then after that, you find out what your passion is. And here's the key. Your passion, which is the thing that you enjoy doing, is inherently designed to help you fulfill your purpose. So what a lot of people do is they may figure out what their passion is without really understanding what their purpose is, and then they head off in the wrong direction. If you like, I can give you an example of that.
Yeah, please.
So, for example, you have a person who loves to cook.
Right.
And everyone would say, hey, you love to cook, you should start a restaurant. And that might seem like a very logical step for someone who likes to cook. But what I do is I take a step back and I ask that person, okay, are you a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide? So let me explain what each of those is. A creator, as the name implies, is someone who's more creative, someone who's creating something new. All right? A savior is someone who's here to heal and fix things. That's the operative, the key word. A guru is someone who's here to teach. And a guide, which is a little bit of a tricky category, is more like someone who's here to change society on a large scale. So I often refer to people like an Oprah Winfrey or a Martin Luther King Jr. as somebody who's a guide for our society. So let's say you have a person who whose passion is cooking. However, their purpose, they've isolated that their purpose is to teach, is actually a guru. So rather than send them down the path of starting a restaurant, I would have them go down the path of possibly starting a cooking school or writing a cookbook that would help them fulfill their purpose of being a teacher. So I might be talking to that person. I'll say to you, okay, what is it about cooking that really excites you? Is it the creation of the meal? And they might say to me, no, I really like teaching other people how to cook. There's the purpose. They're actually a guru in terms of their purpose. So the passion, so the business that I would advise them to start, and of course, this is just a very simple example, but you can see that if your purpose is that of a guru, someone who's a teacher, it would be a mistake for you to start a restaurant. You would be better off and more fulfilled if you were to start a cooking school or write a cookbook or do something that's more along the lines of teaching so that you can fulfill that purpose side of your being in addition to, you know, using your passion.
Got it. Very clear. Now, how long, I'm getting ready to ask you to do me, how long does it take for you to have a conversation for you to distinguish what they are? Because if I listen to those four categories, I can see three of them in me. I can see the guru.
Right, exactly.
Savior. I can see the creator.
That's
a little bit of the
right.
Mind. So how do I know which one I would be?
Exactly. So it might take a little while, but each person is different. It depends on how in touch they are with themselves and if they're willing to open up and ask and answer a lot of the questions that I have. In the book, Turn Your Passion into Profit, I have a lot of discovery exercises. So one of the things that I might ask somebody is to describe their ideal day. I might ask them to describe the things that they were good at when they were 6 or 7 or 8 years old. I might ask them, you know, if they only had 6 months to live, what are the things that they would focus on? So there would be a whole stream of questions that could help me get a better idea of whether they are a creator, a savior, a guru, or a guide. But here's something that you brought up a good point, is that everyone, is, to some degree, is going to have aspects of that. But there usually will be one that's just a little bit more dominant, one that gives them the greatest satisfaction. So one of the things that I might ask you, KY, is, first of all, what's your passion?
Well, there you go. Here we are. I can't.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I want you to, because this is something I've been researching and trying to get into for the longest. Like, what's my purpose, or what, you know, what's in it for me, or like that.
Okay.
What's my passion?
What is the? Okay, listen to the key of questions.
Okay.
What is? Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm not sure. So, what is the thing that other people have noticed that you're good at? What is the thing that has been a constant compliment that people have paid you? You know, KY, you're a good communicator. Or, you know, I always...
They say I'm a good communicator. They say that I'm a good coach or empower or encouraging kind of good attitude, positive attitude. They'll say I'm pretty adventurous, very adventurous.
Okay. All right, so let's take a step back, and if you had to choose one of the four, I want to finish the point I was making before. Every one of us is going to have aspects of those four, creator, savior, guru, or guide, but one of them is going to be a little bit more dominant, and that's the one that might provide you the most fulfillment initially. But you're not being asked to choose one over the others. We just want to have some sort of a guideline to follow so that we can get moving in a certain direction. So if you choose that you're a savior or a guru, it doesn't mean that you're choosing that exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. It just means that's the one we're going to focus on initially just to get something started. But eventually, you'll be doing some creating, you will be doing some healing, you'll be doing some guiding, so it is something that that everyone is going to have at some, you know, at some point in the journey. But so the key question is for you, Kay. Go ahead.
No, I can, given all that, I can say the one that's probably most dominant is that I'm a creator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
I'm
okay.
Always create. Always
what is
creating or starting something. Go ahead.
Okay, so what is the thing that you create? What is the thing that didn't exist before that is a product of your creativity?
Good point. Well, I guess I wouldn't look at it that way. I look at it as what are ways to get things done.
Okay.
Fairly unstoppable. And I'll figure out a way not to avert something, but I'm very good at creating possibility.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that is definitely a trait that a lot of that is very vital to your success. But I'm going to ask you to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to go through the four purposes again: creator, savior, guru, or guide. Are you here to create something that did not exist before? You sort of answered that question, but I'm going to ask it a different way. Are you here to heal and fix things or people or situations? Do you think your purpose here is to teach people something, or do you think your purpose here is to move people as a society in a new direction, sort of like a Gandhi or a Martin Luther King?
It's not the second one. It's either the first
one. Okay. Creator.
Say the first one again.
Creators. Someone who's like a musician or an artist or a writer or someone who's a producer.
One to take people through something or?
Yeah, that's the sort of definition I give for the guide. Someone who's you can think of politicians, you can think of people who are movements, who are starting movements, you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Oprah, somebody who is affecting people on a very large scale and moving society.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Okay, all right. So you first mentioned that you were a creator of creating possibilities. And that you're unstoppable. Now I consider that perseverance, that non-linear thinking mind, that creativity to be able to get things done. So that's a trait that you exhibit that's very important. But I don't know if that's a passion necessarily. So let's assume, as you said, that you might be a guide. And I don't know a lot about your whole history, but you might be right, because as a radio personality, you're affecting a lot of people en masse, in a very large way.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Right. So one of the questions that one of the things that you would need to do is figure out how exactly you're moving people from one point in society to another. Now, not many people identify themselves as guides, so you and I will be going through this, going through this together on the air. And I think I usually don't encounter guides on the air, so this is going to be fun for me too. So, what is the global change that you're looking to make in society?
Yes, I can. I look back at. I'm a former. I was a heroin addict. I was addicted to heroin for 7 years and did about 3 years in prison. And my then charge was to teach and let people know that, I mean, of course, you don't have to be strung out or drunk like that, but you could be more than just a recovering alcoholic. You know, like it occurred to me that most people that overcame a drug addiction, at best, and it's not taking anything away, but they became drug counselors, and not anything beyond that.
Okay.
So, all right.
Now, let me suggest something to you and your listeners. Now, You and I only recently met, so I don't know a lot about your history, but sure. Have you discussed with your audience and with yourself the fact that your experience was a critical part of your personal development and your growth?
Absolutely.
Have you realized the fact that you are now, because of that experience that you went through, being addicted to drugs and recovering, now puts you in a place where you have something uniquely amazing that not a lot of people have the ability to do, and that is you can communicate more effectively with other people who are going through what you went through than I could. Let's suppose you and I were required to speak in front of a group of recovering addicts in order to motivate them, in order to have them find new possibilities, to emulate the same perseverance and creativity that you have. By virtue of your experience, you would be more uniquely qualified to do that than I would.
Yeah.
No matter how great a speaker I am, no matter how many books I've written, just the fact that you have that unique experience creates something invaluable in you that no one else can duplicate.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in the sense, or I hope I agree with you that in the sense that you look at adversity, the fact that you went through that and the fact that now you are here in a position to speak to large masses of people on the radio is something that's unique, and that's part of the journey that you, in one sense, chose to make in order to get you to the place where you are now, where you can reach large groups of people, move them en masse, because a lot of people are recovering addicts in some way or another. And I say that very explicitly in that it's not just drugs that people get addicted to.
I understand. It could be food.
Right. So anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, this is interesting. Absolutely. This is interesting. We're gonna have to take a break. I am not apologizing because this is very, very interesting. So we're going to come back after the break. We're going to go into this a little bit more. And then also we're going to go into how this service that Walt has could be available for you. This is KYE at the Corner. I'll be right back. Hey, this is KY here, back at the Corner, here with Mr. Goodrich. So listen, passion. You know, we were in the first part of the show, we were talking about what my passion, what my purpose was. But I want to just move away from me a little bit because I could have this whole thing be about me. But what about when you start looking at what you're passionate about, you stop because it looks like what you're passionate about or could be passionate about doesn't have a lot of agreement. Your Aunt Sally might not like it or like that.
Right. Well, you know, this whole journey is about not living on Sally's life. It's about living your life. So one of the things that is very important, I believe, for people to do is to start to detach themselves from other people's definitions of what is right and wrong, other people's definitions of what is acceptable. You know, as I said, it took me 7 years to break free from corporate America because I was living someone else's idea of what my life should be. So in my opinion, now this might vary from, you know, country to country, culture to culture, but in my opinion and experience, in order for you to successfully turn your passion into profit, it's going to require you to break free from certain types of thinking. You know, Einstein said you can't solve a problem with the same level of thinking that produced it in the first place. So there's necessarily going to be some changes in how you think, how you act, how you perceive reality. And Aunt Sally had her chance to live her life, and now you have the opportunity and the obligation to live your life in your way. So to answer your question, yes, you could decide to continue living life the way Aunt Sally or your mother or your guidance counselor or your preacher or whoever wants you to live, or you can make a decision that you are going to decide for yourself what is right and what is acceptable. Now, we're assuming that we're not talking about robbing banks here, but we're just talking about, you know, differences of, for example, when I quit my job in corporate America, I did not tell my mother. Now, I'm a grown man, but when I decided to, it happened very fast, I knew there were only a few people who I could tell that I was going to do this who would say, yeah, go for it, Walt, you can do it. Anyone else I would tell, anyone in my family, for example, they would wish me well, but they couldn't advise me to do something that they had never done. So I knew that I couldn't tell my mother, as much as she wants the best for me, she would, and to this day still says, you know, when are you going to get a real job and use your civil engineering degree? So, you know, there's a saying a mentor of mine said that you never take advice. If you accept someone's opinion, you accept their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I get that. So never accept the opinion of someone whose lifestyle you wouldn't, yeah.
Right, and, you know, he gave me a very silly example, but he says, you know, you want to be a real estate mogul. Whose advice are you going to accept? Are you going to accept Donald Trump's advice, or are you going to accept your broke Uncle Fred who lives in a trailer park?
Mm-hmm.
He might have a lot of information and wisdom and advice and opinions, your Uncle Fred, but he has not done the thing that you want to do. One of the best ways for you to successfully turn your passion into profit is to find a mentor, find someone who has done the thing that you want to do. And whether you meet them personally or just emulate them and use them as a mentor, it's important to speak with, deal with, interact with, and be friends with people who are not only supportive, but people who may be on the same path and people who have done the thing that you want to do. And that's going to limit the amount of friends you have, which is a good thing, because most people, there's a statistic that says, you know, 90% of the population is going to retire broke and dependent on the federal government for subsistence. So finding kindred spirits, finding like minds of people who are willing to jump out and break free from conventional thinking is going to be a difficult thing. You'll need 10 people, and you'll be lucky if one of them thinks the same way you do. So your circle of friends is necessarily going to be smaller. The number of relatives who you should share your dreams with is necessarily going to be smaller, not because they wish you harm, but because they just don't have the level of thinking and the worldview that can really encourage you. Most people are going to discourage you. Again, not out of any ill intent, but simply because they just don't have that reality as something to call them. So, hey, Aunt Sally, I'm going to quit my job and become a full-time writer and make money on the Internet. And Aunt Sally says, what are you, crazy? You have a good job, you know. You don't quit your job. We all need security in this world. Keep your job and, you know, and work and getting a promotion. Mm-hmm. Because that's all she knows.
Got it. So, but that's your passion, the writing. That's your thing?
My passion, I'm a guru, so my passion is sharing information. Mm-hmm. And here's the funny thing about that. So writing is a talent that I have that helps me fulfill my purpose to be a guru.
Got that.
So I'm a guru. I like sharing information. And once that dawned on me in the process of coming up with the passion, profit, philosophy. Once that dawned on me, I looked back on my life and certain things made a whole lot of sense. In elementary school, I was helping other second graders do their math homework. In high school, I was a peer tutor. I was tutor after school. I would tutor other kids in math and science. In college, I was president of the National Society of Black Engineers, and I was head of the Education Committee. And now, I never recognized a thread in that until the point where I wrote my book and then said, hey, wait a minute. Now that I realize it, I look back and there's been a constant thread in my life of me teaching other people, helping and showing them and explaining things. Now it all makes sense. Yes, I've been a guru all my life, and now that I have this philosophy that puts it in perspective, I see the thread. So the advantage that you can have now, KY, and all your listeners, is to, using the creator, savior, guru, and guide, look back in your life and see what thread has been consistently running through it. Have you always been the creator, creating new things, writing, drawing, painting, you know, writing music? Have you always been a guru? Have you always been teaching or helping or instructing people? Or have you been a savior? Have you always been healing or fixing? Are you attracted to counseling and coaching and healing people and fixing systems or companies? So you can look back on your life to help you determine what is the thread that you've always been attracted to. That's a long answer, I know. I'm sorry.
No. But it helps me get it clear. See, I'm always looking at the downtrodden or the underdog could be more than just bouncing back. Like, my moniker is KY, the comeback guy, teaching people to come back.
Ah, cool. I like that.
Yeah, you know, taking upsets and turning into opportunities for comebacks. And, like, if you look at my life has been about coming back, you know, from drug addiction, incarceration, prostate cancer, bankruptcy, you know. I'm like a roach. I'm not going to die, right?
But, right.
Excellent.
So have you – so how would you – besides being on the radio, what else would you do? Would you write books? Would you do one-on-one counseling? Or would you do big auditorium lectures or do a video?
I've done everything you mentioned except write books.
Okay.
And writing. I haven't done writing, but I've spoken. And I'm part of the National Speakers Association. I've done that. I've won workshops.
Okay. Have you recorded? Have you recorded the workshops?
No. Other than I have a 10-minute one that I did, a 10-minute presentation.
Okay. So let me use you as an example, if I may, and tell you what I would suggest to someone. So let's suppose you don't feel you're a writer. That's fine. Not everyone is a writer. The prospect of you sitting down and putting what you know onto paper is not something that appeals to you. So here's what you do. You could do a number of things. You could go on Elance.com and you could find a ghostwriter and have that person interview you and actually write your book for you. You know, a lot of books written by the celebrities are not actually written by celebrities. They're written by ghostwriters who interview the celebrity, find out what they want to say, and then they actually write the book. It happens more often than you would imagine. So if you don't want to write a book, you can find someone who can write it for you. Second thing is, if your information and your knowledge and your energy can be transmitted better in audio or video form, you can simply, at very little cost, it doesn't have to be a big production, you can record yourself, you know, being interviewed, or you could record yourself doing the speaking, giving the speech, you know, the comeback speech, and or you can record the workshop. When next time you do a speech, you make sure you have a little digital recorder on your hip and a microphone on your lapel, and you record all your speeches. You come home, you plug it in your computer, and you create an MP3 of your speech, and you put it up on your website, and you charge $19.95 for people to order your comeback speech. Every time you open your mouth, especially you, KOI, you should have a microphone with a record button so that you can start to accumulate an archive of products. Now, that's where the crux of what I help people do is to go from that passion into creating a product, a physical, tangible, something that can now be transmitted over and over again. And in your case, that would be the best way because, you know, you record it once, and as you know, it's an MP3 file, so there's no duplication cost. So, but people should be able to purchase a recording of your speech as a product that you offer to the world. And the nice thing about that is it lasts forever. The book that I wrote in 1992, the first book that I wrote, still sells today, and I've updated it three times in that space of time, and it's still the one that sells the most, the book on the hip-hop music industry. It's called Change the Game. So you create a product one time, and you have a stream of income that can last the rest of your life. Your speech, your comeback speech that you will record in 2011 will be selling in 2020 because it's a timeless motivational speech that people can order. So one of the things I help people think about is the fact that that thing of value that you do, that thing, whether it's a speech, whether it's a book, whether it's coaching, we need to find a way to put it into a physical form, a book, a CD, a video, audio, something that can then be sold to the public to transmit that value, that unique value, to increasing numbers of people.
Hmm. Do you work with people individually like that?
Yes. Usually I do. Right now I'm kind of on a little hiatus, and we can talk about that if you like. But usually I do coaching and consulting. If people go to my website, they can learn more about that. But yes, I do coach people one-on-one to help do the thing that you and I have been doing here on the air today.
Well, good. We'll do that offline too then. Well,
cool. Not a problem.
I'm looking at all these things. You used to be a disc jockey. What does your future look like? I can't predict your age. I can't tell your age.
Yeah, that's the big secret that I have. I don't tell people my age, but I never plan that far in advance. I'm not sure where I'm going to be next week. One of the things that I love to do is, I wouldn't say I like to travel, but I wanted to see more of the world. So right now, as a matter of fact, your listeners may not know, but you and I are communicating through a Skype connection, and I'm in China. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm in China is because I've always wanted to travel, always wanted to see what China was like. So I picked up and moved over here, and because my business is internet-based, all I need is an internet connection and, my laptop, and I'm good to go. I can be anywhere. So right now I'm in the southern part of China in Yunnan province in a place called Sichuanbana. But I'm not sure where I'm going to be 2 weeks from now. I may get the nomad urge and just pick up and move. So to answer your question, I don't know what my future looks like. I have a vague idea what I'm going to eat for dinner tomorrow. But other than that, I'm not sure.
Wow, now that's living the life, right? Do you speak Chinese?
I'm learning.
How long, I'm in the process, yes. How long can you stay there? How long are you there?
For me, because I'm not a Chinese citizen, the visa that I'm allowed allows me 6 months.
Okay, and then you have to come back. And how long is there a break in between where you can go back?
Yes. Well, no. Technically, I could get another visa and continue. But, I do have to leave and make an appearance back in the leave China and I have to make an appearance back in the United States.
And when
I want to make an appearance back.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And when you do that, where do you come back to?
I might head to Saipan. It's a little island in the South Pacific near Guam that's also a U.S. territory, and I was there for a few years before I headed to China. A lot of people may not know it. It's the official name is called the Northern Mariana Islands. Island of Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. World War II buffs might know Tinian because that's where the Enola Gay took off from, the bomber that dropped the bomb on Nagasaki. But that's where I might end up. I love warm weather, so Saipan is a tropical island in the Pacific, so that's where I might head. I do have family in New York, so as soon as the weather changes, I might head back to New York for a little while.
But if you want to go to that island, would that be considered a U.S. appearance?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. All right, so you're not married. Have you ever been married?
No, I have not.
I'll leave it alone.
Not to the best of my knowledge, no.
Oh, you would know.
So I'm told.
All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to let people know about various ways in which they can get in touch with you and follow your life. This is KY here on the corner with Mr. Goodrich, and we'll be right back. Hey, this is KY here, and we're going to get right back into this interview with Mr. Goodrich. as we're talking about living your passion and so forth. Now, one of the questions I had asked him offline was, a lot of the questions that you're asking when you're trying to seek one's purpose and one's passion are not new questions. These are questions that they always ask, like, what keeps you awake at night, what makes you cry, blah, blah, blah. But how do you get to that answer? How do you get to that answer?
Okay, great, great question. Okay, so when I do a workshop, I start off with certain rules. And one of the rules, among many, is I don't know is not an acceptable answer. Mm. So that's one of the rules. When I am coaching you or when I'm consulting or when I'm doing a workshop and I ask you, what's your purpose? You'd be surprised at how many people, or what's your passion? You'd be surprised how many people will say, well, I don't really know. And I simply say to them, well, I don't know is not an acceptable answer. If you don't know, who should I ask? So what I do is I force people to answer the question because I know what a good answer sounds like. I've been doing this for a while now. I know what a truthful answer sounds like. So I can push until you answer the question. Now, a lot of people won't do that, but if you just push people, one of the advantages that people will have when I do coaching with them or when I do their workshops is I'm not going to just accept a fluff answer. You can pull the wool over your eyes if you like, but you're not going to pull it over my eyes. So when I ask people these questions, I know what a sensible, sound, in touch, connected answer sounds like. And until I get that, you're not off the hook. So, and you will know when you've given the right answer because things will start to become clear. So when someone says, oh, I don't know, and I ask, okay, that's not acceptable, I keep asking the question. Eventually, they have to form a thought in their mind. And that pressure, that the need to have to answer the question sets them down the path. Because a lot of people are just not challenged to answer questions correctly. They get they get away with I don't know, or you know, I'll get back to you on that answer. So it's a very simple process. Ask questions, get the right answers, move to the next step. If you so that answers your question. So that's how these questions, which are not new, but they require truthful answers in order for you to get to the next step, and that's the advantage that I have.
Got it. Wow. What advice or what words would you give to someone who is currently in business, assuming that they're on their working their passion and working their purpose? What advice do you want to give them?
Right. Well, one of the things that comes up is, I'll just cut straight to the chase. If you're in business, it is likely that there's somebody else who could start up a competing business next door. So you're selling product A, and someone else decides, hey, that looks like a good market, I'm going to sell product A. Unless and until you figure out what is it that makes you unique, you will have to compete with that other person on price. And the worst and last thing that you want to do in any business is compete on price with somebody, because it's a formula for going out of business. If you compete on price with somebody, they can simply lower their price, and they may have a greater tolerance for pain than you do, and eventually they'll run you out of business. So you don't want to ever compete on somebody on price. You want to be able to inject into your business the thing that makes you unique, the thing that makes you indispensable, the unique thing that you have that no one else can duplicate. Why should I go to your business and patronize you rather than the guy next door? What is the thing that you know that no one else knows? What is the thing that you do that no one else can do? What is the experience that you have that no one else can duplicate? What is the thing that makes you and your business special? You must absolutely find a way to isolate the unique thing, the passion, the purpose that you bring to things, such that when someone looks at your product and what you offer and your service, there is a difference that no one else can match. So, for example, KY and I are doing a workshop, and I advertise that, hey, I'm going to come to your prison or I'm going to come to your drug rehab center, and I'm going to give a talk on helping people come back from defeat. So KY and I are competitors, and I say, hey, I'm a great speaker. I've done 50 speeches, a week. I've written X amount of books, and you should hire me because I only charge $50 for my speech. Mm-hmm. KY says, well, I was addicted to drugs. I was in prison. I can speak from a unique perspective that no one else has. And I charge $500 for my talk. Mm-hmm. Now, a wise organizer should go with KY, even though he's more expensive, because he has isolated something unique that I don't have that sets him apart, that I can't duplicate. I cannot pretend that I was in prison or that I was addicted to drugs. He has the real life experience that he's able to incorporate into what it is he's selling. Now, again, that's a simple example, but it just shows that once you stop competing on price and start to compete on your unique value, your passion, and your purpose, you have created value that no one else can duplicate. And that is a very, very vital key to this whole business, is finding the thing that sets you apart that no one else can duplicate. In fact, in my book, Turn Your Passion into Profit, I have the following. It's a little quote that I use to let people realize that once they create value for their business, they have something that no one can steal. It goes something like this. If you create and market a product or service through a business that is in alignment with your personality, capitalizes on your history, incorporates your experiences, harnesses your talents, optimizes your strengths, complements your weaknesses, and honors your life's purpose and moves you towards the conquest of your own fears, there is absolutely no way that anyone in this or any other universe can offer the same value that you do. So in a nutshell, it's simply this. Once you incorporate into your business the thing that makes you unique, you set yourself apart from everyone else, and no one can compete with you because you're not in competition with anyone else. You are creating something unique that stands apart.
Well, that makes sense.
Hey, why, are you still there?
Yeah. Okay. No, I said, wow, that definitely makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, and that is the whole basis.
And do you work, what do you work with people or guide them to get to that point?
That's the whole thing that I do is help people think on that level, whether they're in business or whether they're looking to start a new business, is to start from a different point. It's not what what's a good business to get into. A lot of people ask the question, the floor tiling business is a good business. You should then get into that. And I'm sure, people can be successful doing that. But I'd like to create a different paradigm where you're not just going into a business because it's a good business and everyone says so, but you're doing something that's bringing something unique and that offers you, as well as the public, some fulfillment. Because the other side of this coin is, on one hand, you're providing something of value to the world, but on the other hand, you are gaining personal growth, fulfillment, and a satisfaction that your floor tiling business can never provide you with. And that is, to me, a much better equation to be in the middle of, where the business that you are involved in is also satisfying and fulfilling and creating value for you in addition to the rest of the world. And that's the major shift in the paradigm. So you're not going to start a fast food chain. You're not going to start a floor tiling business unless that's your passion. But you're going to do something that offers you fulfillment as well, and that makes life much more worth living.
Pretty fascinating, man.
I enjoyed. get to meet a lot of interesting people on this journey.
But tell me, how can our listeners get in touch with you? The various ways to connect with you, to follow you, etc.
Okay, well, the best and most valuable to your listeners would simply be to visit the Passion Profit website. That's www.passionprofit.com, P-A-S-S-I-O-N-P-R-O-F-I-T.com. And I would advise them to sign up to the mailing list. Every week I send out something called Walt's Monday Mentos. It's things to think about business-wise, articles. Every Monday morning I send that out, and it helps keep you focused on what it is you need to focus on in order to reclaim your power, break free, and to live true to yourself, turning your passion into profit. So that's the best way, passionprofit.com. You can see all the products there. You can order a copy of the book in ebook form and download it right away. You can take a free personality test. You can learn about the different products, the hip-hop biz products, as well as the other books that I've written. And the next thing, if you want just to share in the adventure of what I'm doing here in China, you can go to the blog, JamaicanInChina.com. And that's a little fun.
Jamaican.
Fun adventure. Jamaican in China. Oh, if I didn't mention, I'm originally from Jamaica, and it's a catchy title that makes people look twice. JamaicanInChina.com.
Yeah, because those are two things that don't look like they belong on the same thing.
Right. Exactly, exactly. Well, people wouldn't expect that. So.
Yeah.
Like Jamaican bobsledding team.
I was thinking about the same thing. Like, you know, it's easier to get to that than the Jamaican in China.
Right.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you sound like you live living a very good, exciting life. I can see how people can vicariously live with you. I'm kind of drifting.
Well, you know, I thank you for that. It took me a while to get here, but there's a reason I do it. Not just for my own enjoyment and for my own photo collection, but I do it honestly to. I'm aware that seeing a Jamaican traveling through China is inspiring to people. And part of what I do as a guru, you know, in the creator, savior, guru, guide sense of the word, I don't, you know, I don't egotistically consider myself a guru, if you will. But what I do is I'm showing people that it's possible to live life on your own terms. And it's a very simple formula. I've written some books. I have internet-based businesses, so all my income comes through the internet. I can live anywhere. That's my dream. My dream is to be able to pick up with my laptop and go to China and live there, and you know, not have to show up for a job every morning in the cold 16 inches of snow that I wouldn't be trusted to if I were still in New York. So that's my dream. That's my life. And I write about it in my blog just to show people, you know, have a little fun, a little distraction, but also as an example to show that here's someone who's living life on his own terms and, hey, you can do the same thing. Your life might not, you may not want to travel to China, but whether it's just, you know, living in a mountain, in the mountains in Nevada or, you know, wherever, you define your own dream and it's possible that you can live it. One of the first best ways to do that, to break free, is to break free from being dependent on an employer for your source of income. So that's one of the ways that it's imperative for people to start thinking differently, especially now at the beginning of the new year, start thinking differently about, you know, what would happen if you lost your job tomorrow. And I don't mean to be a pessimist, but, you know, it's nice to have a plan B. It's nice to think if you had to, are there other ways that you could generate income so that you could be free, dependent on someone else's paycheck? So that's a very practical reason why I like people to consider. And while you're reading the Jamaican in China blog, the thing that's making it possible for me is the fact that I thought about this years ago and was able to create for myself income that doesn't require my presence. And that's the thing that I like people to consider. You know, is there a way for you to create income? So UKY, you know, you could have your audio and your video selling about your comeback, and it doesn't matter where you are. You have a website that's running 24 hours a day. People are purchasing it, and you could be, you know, traveling around the world or just, you know, hibernating in your jacuzzi and not have to get up in order to go out and generate money, you know?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. It's going to be an offline conversation. All right, everybody, this is KY here with Mr. Walt Goodrich, and he definitely gave me some food for thought, and I know that he probably stimulated some thinking for you. If you, you know, definitely sign up for those two. Give your website again.
Okay, the main one is passionprofit.com. Mm-hmm. That's www.passionprofit.com. And the other one is jamaicaninchina.com. And you can always just go on Google and look up Walt Goodrich. Last name is spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-D-G-E. Goodrich.
Goodrich. Well, I'm going to sign up for passionprofit.com. You'll get that, and we're going to stay in touch. And listeners, we'll update you as I go through living my life fully.
Absolutely.
As we have another show in there called Getting Naked, Being Naked, which is kind of points in the same thing you're talking about, living life.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. All right, so hey, this is KY, Mr. Goodrich here. Thank you for listening in. We'll see you next week here on The Corner. Take care.